is Davin's Den. This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out. Last Davin's Den of 2022. Russ Ferdico is in studio joining Pip and I. It's nice to do a show where everybody's actually here.
I know.
Yeah, yes.
Yay.
It's much better. All right. So this was the...
We're pre-apocalyptic.
We are pre-apocalyptic. Pre-apocalyptic. That's a good term.
Yeah, I like that.
So this was my blog this week. Got a lot of likes on social media. Nice. Of all things.
I read it.
It's a damn fine blog.
You know, you told me about it at Christmas dinner.
No, yes. I told you about the movie I'm writing about Christmas.
The movie too, but yeah, you told me about the blog too.
I told you about the blog before dinner.
Yeah, about Hannity. Yeah, but anyway,
it's a damn fine blog.
Go.
So on November 30th, 2020, Sean Hannity hosted Sidney Powell on his primetime Fox News program, as she had in many other interviews around that time. On Fox and elsewhere in right-wing media, Powell, a former federal prosecutor, spun wild conspiracy theories about what she said was corruption all across the country in countless districts, and a plot to steal the reelection of President Donald Trump, because goddammit, America wants that maniac longer, don't you know it? At the center of this imagined plot were machines from Dominion voting systems, which Powell claimed ran an algorithm that switched votes from Trump votes to votes for Joe Biden. Dominion machines, she insisted, were being used to trash large batches of votes. Just trash them. Just do it.
Throw them in the sewer.
Yeah. Hannity interrupted her with a gentle question that had been circulating among election deniers despite a lack of supporting proof. Why were the Democrats silencing whistleblowers who could prove this fraud? By the way, just that remember when the Republicans were against the whistleblowers because there was the guy from Ukraine who was in our military and blew the whistle on what Trump was doing with Ukraine, and they were getting, you know, because they used to be for whistleblowers, then they were against whistleblowers, but I guess now they're for whistleblowers.
Whatever suits you at the moment.
God, you gotta love America. Did Hannity believe any of this? I did not believe her for 1 second.
Wow.
Except for the hours I was on the air when I was paid to believe it. That was the answer Hannity gave under oath.
And that's all cable news channels, but anyway.
No. That was the answer.
No, yes. Yeah,
well, show me the testimony, my friend.
Rachel, whatever her name.
She's a pundit.
She's a pundit.
Well, show me the testimony. That was the answer Hannity gave under oath in a deposition to Dominion's $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit against Fox News, according to information disclosed at a court hearing Wednesday. The hearing was called to address several issues that need to be resolved before the head case heads, for a jury trial, which the judge is scheduled to begin in April. April Fools would be nice. Hannity's disclosure, along with others that emerged from court Wednesday about what Fox News executives and hosts really believed as their network became one of the loudest megaphones for lies about the 2020 election, is among the strongest evidence yet to emerge publicly that some Fox employees knew what they were broadcasting was false. The high legal standard of proof in defamation case makes it difficult for a company such as Dominion to prevail against a media organization like Fox News. Dominion has to persuade a jury that people at Fox were in effect saying one thing in private while telling their audience exactly the opposite. And that requires showing a jury convincing evidence that speaks to the state of mind of those who are making the decisions at the network. Unless, of course, they testify under oath. In Delaware Superior Court on Wednesday, Dominion's lawyers argued that they had obtained ample evidence to make the case. One lawyer for Dominion said that not a single Fox witness so far had produced anything supporting various claims about the company that were uttered repeatedly on the network. In some cases, other high-profile hosts and senior executives echoed Hannity's doubts about what Trump and his allies like Powell were saying, according to Dominion lawyer Stephen Shackelford. This included Meade Cooper. It's a great name, by the way, Meade Cooper. So it's a great name for, like, a soap opera.
Daytime
like
television.
Dun, dun, dun! It's Meade Cooper! Yeah, I like a Meade Cooper. Who oversees primetime programming for Fox News and primetime star Tucker motherfucker Carlson. Jack
Is that the full way that you say
it's,
it?
It's on the birth certificate, dear.
Oh, I see.
Yes, it is. What,
is that the long form certificate?
Yes, his parents knew. Straight from Kenya. He's...
And here, straight from Kenya.
Many of the highest ranking Fox people have admitted under oath that they never believed the Dominion lies. He said, naming Cooper and Carlson. Shackelford described how Carlson had tried to squirm out of it at his deposition when asked about what he really believed. That pigs fly. Shackelford started to elaborate about what Carlson had said privately, telling the judge about the existence of text messages that Host had sent in November and December of 2020. But the judge, Eric M. Davis, cut him off, leaving the specific contents of those texts unknown. Nay, nay. A spokesperson for Fox News declined to comment. We've said enough. Another previously unknown detail emerged on Wednesday about what was going on inside the Fox universe in those frantic weeks after the election. A second lawyer representing Dominion, Justin Nelson. I'd like it better if his first name was Justice. Justice Nelson.
Justice.
Attorney at law.
Not as cool as Cooper.
Is that like full Nelson? Justice Nelson.
You can also have a half Nelson. Told Davis about evidence obtained by Dominion showing that an employee of Fox Corp, the parent company of Fox News, had tried to intervene with the White House to stop Powell. According to Nelson, the employee called the fraud claims outlandish and pressed Trump's staff to get rid of Powell, who was advising the president on filing legal challenges to the results. And they did. And they lost every single friggin' one.
Was that 60?
60-something like that, mm-hmm. Yeah. Nelson said that the evidence cut straight to the heart of whether Fox Corp, which is controlled by Rupert and Lachlan Murdoch, was also liable for defamation. Davis ruled in June that Dominion could sue the larger, highly profitable corporation, which includes the Fox Network, on basic television and lucrative sports broadcasting division. Oh, they're going to take away our football.
What?
They're gonna sue the NFL rights right away from them.
No.
Just terrible.
A spokesperson for Fox Corp declined to comment because we've said enough. Over the last several months, Dominion has been combing through mountains of private email and text messages from people at every level of Fox News and Fox Corp. Hosts like Hannity, senior executives and mid-level producers, a lawyer for Fox, Dan K. Webb, said Wednesday that the company had produced more than 52,000 documents for Dominion, with more to come. During the hearing, the judge was asked to rule on several issues. One was whether a second voting company that is suing Fox for defamation, Smartmatic. Smartmatic.
Smart?
Smartmatic.
Somebody named their child Smart?
No, it's a company.
Oh.
Somebody named their child Pip? Well, whatever. Could be given access to the documents Dominion had obtained for its case. Davis ruled in Fox's favor, denying Smartmatic's motion. Nah, get your own info, stupid. A second issue was whether certain evidence that Dominion has issued against Fox in its court filing, including emails among Fox employees and a page from a deposition in which someone from Fox describes the journalistic process of one of the network's programs, should be made public. Please make that public.
Oh,
please. Here's shit. We throw it against the wall and we go with it.
We could really make a meal out of that.
That would be fantastic.
That would be interesting.
Throughout the case, Fox has asked the court to keep almost everything in the case pertaining to its inner workings under seal. I bet they have. A third lawyer for Dominion, DeVita. I'm guessing that's a check. They wanted David, but they got DeVita.
Yeah.
Yeah. DeVita.
Named after, you know, their
Or it's like
grandfather.
An evil twin. It's David and DeVita.
That's
DeVita
terrible.
Brooke argued Wednesday that the public had a fundamental right to see what it had filed with the court in the interest of fostering openness that a democracy requires. Davis disagreed, ruling that the evidence would stay under seal, but inglovingly? I don't know what that word. Aggressive? Whatever. For someone saying something not bright and therefore embarrassing that shouldn't be kept. All right, whatever. So here's the thing. This was my blog this week. This is not the first time this has happened with Fox News. As we talked about maybe a year ago, and I brought up time and time again, Fox News lawyers had to defend Tucker Carlson, who was getting sued for slander.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fox News lawyer said only a fucking moron, essentially, would take what Tucker Carlson says seriously. That was the Fox News attorneys. And the judge goes, yeah, you got a point. and they won the case. Only a moron would believe Tucker Carlson. And they won that case. Here's the problem. I don't have a problem with them saying whatever they want to say.
Mm.
They can say whatever they want. Free speech. I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with, and we've talked about this before when I did that expose on media in all other countries,
mm-hmm.
that they couch it as news. Fox News is aired in Canada,
mm-hmm.
but they're not allowed to call it news.
It's entertainment.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
All news is.
No.
Yes.
No.
Don Lemon and Rachel Maddow.
No, they're punk.
They're not.
I'll tell you what they're
no different than Hannity.
Well,
and
here's the thing:
the Russia hoax for 2 years and all that stuff that never happened.
But here's the difference:
they report out things by the minute. Your point, depending on which way the wind blows, that's what they report.
Right?
Why? Because they need that 40% of stupid.
But we're not talking about
watching
that.
The advertisements. Cable news is the worst thing that ever happened in this country.
But we're not talking about
these
that.
Morons are the reason why.
We're not talking.
But
about
whoever
that.
Turns on cable news
and
shut off
your mic,
they're getting facts. Come on.
We're not talking about that.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about that they knowingly lied. If you,
you think educated broadcasters don't knowingly lie?
I don't have it under testimony. I have it under testimony.
Devin, come on.
There's a difference.
Carlson, Hattie, Maddow, Lemon, these people know they're full of shit. They're given a narrative by some political operative.
A narrative is different than this. This is not a narrative.
A bold-faced, not tell the truth, that's never been done before.
This,
come on.
This tore apart the country. This led to January 6th. And
what happened with January? A few hundred idiots.
No, no.
Ran to the Capitol. It was a few hundred idiots that ran to the Capitol.
No, no.
And you know what? If they didn't have social media, that never would have happened. Social media made it hot possible for some moron with a Viking helmet and an axe tattoo.
You clearly have not paid attention. Well,
to enter our Capitol. That's all it was. It was
It was organized. It was organized.
Through social media.
But through groups.
Through
believe,
social media.
You hear these
Yes,
guys,
the tinfoil hat brigade showed up and stormed the Capitol. It was a few hundred morons. And again, this is the 40% we were talking about.
So wait, are they a moron for watching Fox News?
Anybody who watches cable news and takes it as law of the land or absolute truth is either part of that 40% or they are very, very partisan.
So somebody
they're
sure
being told what they want to hear.
They are. But this and
we heard it from the other side, Matt Allen Lemon for two friggin' years about how Russia was a
and you know what?
FBI.
And the Republican Senate did an investigation. They go, yeah, Russia did interfere and probably did help Donald Trump. It was
No. The warrant the FISA warrant that they went on and on about, it was all nonsense.
That's not true.
That came from corrupt people working not only with Clinton's campaign, but within our justice system is very unfortunate.
But again, you're missing the point.
But
you're
not
going to
pretend corruption doesn't exist, and you can't have a political party or their communications machine and say corruption doesn't exist. This doesn't surprise me. The other side does it. So does Fox. Yep. And this is the system. You have to sit back and watch it once in a while and see it for what it is. And I switch back and forth between channels. I drive my wife crazy. She walks out of the room. And if there's a topic and I'm switching back and forth, it becomes comical. Canada's onto something. It shouldn't be listed as entertainment. It should be listed as fucking stand-up comedy.
I understand. And I agree with that.
That's what news has become in our country.
I agree with that.
On both sides. They're both powered by a political machine. You got to get that 40% of stupid to watch the advertisements because they buy shit.
Here's how it changes. Here's
and
how
that's
it changes.
What's happening.
You get a company like Dominion that is going to sue them, and I hope they sue.
They're going to lose.
They're not going
to
lose.
The media always wins.
They've already.
If it was CNN and Don Lemon, I'd say the same shit. Good luck.
Well, no.
They got the First Amendment up the ass. Davin.
But you can.
CNN and Don Lemon, I swear to you, I'd say the same thing.
It's not the first because they damaged Dominion voting systems. They damaged
the standard of proof though for a media outlet is ridiculous. I'm serious. I would say that if it was Don Lemon or Rachel Maddow, I'd say the same thing. Good luck.
So you don't have any problem at all that these people knowingly tore the country apart instead of just going. He lost and moved on with it.
They did the same thing when Bush Jr. won. It was the same shit. CNN and Fox lined up their cannons, beat the living shit, tore the country apart. Why? Because that 40% was tuned in and everybody else wasn't knowing what the hell was going on with their country. Fear and stupidity.
But
boom,
it's
cable media.
Under testimony.
Turn it off. Your life will be better.
Do you think it's different?
I stopped watching cable media during COVID and I've been happier.
Stop talking. Do you think it's different if there's testimony?
I think that we're just talking about the burden of proof, and it's correct. Like if you do have testimony in front of a legislative body, I think
well,
that
this is under a legislative body. This is under court of law. This is deposition.
It's hard.
It's
really hard.
It's not like you and I as citizens. If you're going against a media outlet, like if it was Don Lemon, I'd say the same thing. Good luck.
Right, they also do have the problem because it's not, and we've talked about this a lot of times, when you have the First Amendment, we have freedom of speech, but there are consequences, and you're not allowed to libel or slander people.
You can't yell fire in a shatter theater.
And you can't cause a riot.
Well, you can also demean something else falsely.
Well, that's what I was saying, libel or slander.
Right, that's what that means.
You're dealing with people who are given Emmy Awards. What
it
does
doesn't
that
matter.
What do you mean?
News anchors are given Emmy Awards.
Oh, yeah,
he's not a news anchor,
though. Oh, my goodness.
But that's not what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's masked as news. It's presented as news.
And that's what I'm saying. They should
really
not call it news.
It's a hand job with a sandpaper glove, but it's masked as news.
Ooh, Jesus. Jesus. How did that sneak into the news? Or the entertainment?
But here's how you clean it up.
It was bad when we were kids, guys. It's gotten real bad. Now it's over.
I'm older than you guys, and it's like, I remember Walter Cronkite. There wasn't so much of this masking people's
opinion.
No,
there was a story to
tell.
Make up your own mind. Here's what I got for you.
The five W's.
NPR used to be like that.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, NPR was, here's what's going on. Here are the facts.
And I don't remember what it's called. I should look it up. But there used to be a standard in broadcasting of what constituted news. And then they stopped using that. And I'm trying to remember.
A long time ago. A long time ago.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, but like, it seemed like, and everybody followed suit, but Fox News was the first one that came with this, like, tabloid style, calling it news when it was
it
so
was in your face, yes.
crazily slanted and continues to be.
Well,
is there any difference between that and me reading in the New York Times? I do read the New York Times. And I'm not, I hate this. Talk about standards. They got to get rid of this. And this is why Carlson and Hannity are in no danger at all. Anonymous source. When I read any article and see that label, anonymous source, mm-hmm. I turn the page.
That's why you had Deep Throat, though, which was
I turn
yeah.
the page.
Yeah.
That's I'm talking about now.
Well, I mean, but there's
how that's
a reason.
Used now.
Well, it's yeah. abused yeah. now.
Okay.
Used
and abused. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, I think
and
there's
that's
still
why
for
this
it.
Isn't going to go anywhere because sources are protected.
It sounds like you don't want it to go anywhere.
I just told if it was Don Lemon and Maddow, I'd say the same friggin' thing.
No, if it was Don Lemon or Maddow, I would say the same thing. I want this nonsense to stop.
I would love for it to stop. You know what? The 60%, especially that 10% we're hanging on to, has to tell the 40%, one, stop, okay? This is not news. These are not. It's not fact-driven information, excuse me, backed up by sources. Mm-hmm. And to stop.
But you're not understanding.
The only time I turn on the news, CNN's got war. Like, they own war. I know Republicans who are watching, like, CNN when Ukraine got invaded. They own war.
No, that's
the best thing that happened to CNN's ratings.
But we're not talking
about that. Was from the beginning of
yes,
that's
not this.
But I'm just saying in general, cable news, don't even take it with a grain of salt. Take it as, like, caffeine-free diet soda.
But here's the problem. I know people. I know people who turn on Tucker and Sean.
And it's law. That's the 40%.
Hold on.
It's truth. Yes. Why? They're on TV. Get the fuck
all right,
out
but you
of
can't.
That stuff. It's got to be true. We don't television. Please. I do the same thing when I watch Don Lemon and see his platform. Like, God, you were so full of shit. I do the same thing.
Listen, there's being full of shit. And then there's testifying.
Insane. I get it. That's to Pip's point. And she is right. But I don't know. If it was a media outlet, I'd say yes. It was like taxpayer versus taxpayer. This ain't going anywhere,
I
wish it would, because it would send a trickle effect through the
industry,
the entertainment industry, I'll call it. And maybe they could clean up their acts, but I don't
see. Here's what I want to see. Not only do I want to see Dominion sue Fox for the 1.6 and the hosts, I want to see the people that are sitting in jail or went to jail that have said they believed it. Because they are so pissed off now. A lot of those people go, I can't believe I went to jail for this. They're pissed off at Trump for saying it. And I want to see them go after Fox News. And I want to see the people who got hurt. I want to see people who got killed in January 6th. I want to see them go. Because now we have evidence that they knowingly lied. They riled these people up. These people thought they were doing the right thing. Whether you think they're stupid or not, a lot of them genuinely thought they were patriots and they were doing the right thing. And these motherfuckers got on the air every day and knew it was bullshit.
Stoked the fire.
Yeah. So it stopped.
You know what the ADA is? Americans with Disability Act?
Yes.
You can't sue for being fucking stupid.
But they're not all stupid.
And the 40%. Watching the TV, like you're getting excited. Yeah, 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 it was rigged. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, man.
Listen.
It's nonsense.
It's not.
The same stuff that happened, literally, same stuff that happened, ironically, 12 hours after Trump got elected. Oh, the Russians are taking over.
Nobody stormed the Capitol.
There's going to be a nuclear war.
Nobody stormed the Capitol.
It's the tone of stupid that people grasp onto because they just can't step out of their little myopic
world. Crimes were committed. That's what I'm talking about. People were done wrong. People died because they were fed this steady stream, whether it be Fox News or Newsmax or the other one. They were fed, or their favorite podcast.
Most of this happened in Facebook and chat rooms and stuff like that. The local nuts found each other.
Listen to Facebook. Facebook was putting the stories up. They weren't creating the content. Right. There's a difference. Fox News and the others were knowingly creating content that was bullshit.
That was
false. If he knew Sidney Powell was
bullshit. Why were they doing that?
To make money.
Correct. To keep the 40% of stupid.
Right. And I want them
watching commercials.
And I want there to be consequences.
I would love for it to happen, Davin. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen.
And I'll tell you another. And I know this might sound.
The system, it's that dirty, brother. I hate to tell you.
Pip, this might make me sound very Republican here.
Yeah, nice.
What I'm about to say.
Uh-oh. I got to brace myself.
But I put it in the blog. You know what? Maybe we should.
Guns for everyone?
No, maybe. maybe we shouldn't let foreigners own news companies.
Right.
Rupert Murdoch is an Australian.
Republican?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it. Might be.
Yeah.
Cool boy.
I agree.
You know, because
you just went Newt Gingrich.
Listen.
Wow. Where's David Duke? Is he hanging out?
Russ, well, here's the thing.
Oh, that's not Republican, man.
Well, actually, it is.
No, it's not. He's got nothing to do with
it. It is now.
He's got nothing to do with the Republican Party. That guy's batshit crazy.
Was he running for Roscoe P. Choi?
He's a wonderful man.
I remember him with Boss Hogg. Never a fan of David Duke. Don't like them Duke boys.
Well, let me ask you. How many Democrats?
I know the Dodge Charger better than everyone else.
Well, let me ask you, how many Democrats are following him? So
that's a different brand. Please don't love me with those fucking nuts. Please,
not you.
Those people are a different brand.
But
Davin just went full conservative.
You know what?
I'm scared.
If you're not born in this country, you cannot run for president.
So tell me about the Mexicans,
right.
Davin.
I'm only playing.
What?
Foreigners can't own news companies.
Maybe we should.
What else can't they do?
That's it. That's it.
Can they only own El Camino's? Is that where this is going?
No, that's you.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, because now what would we be talking about if it was a Russian oligarch who owned a news corporation and knowingly did this?
Look at that. The hell is his name? Soros.
He doesn't own a news corporation.
I know, but
he's a lobbyist. Which I have problems with too.
Yes.
But that's not this.
In prison.
That's not this.
I get it. The truth is, whether it be Soros or the news or
the news is
different. Those damn fence hoppers, Davin doesn't want owning news companies.
No, I don't believe. I don't believe.
I believe you said it, not me.
No, I talked about the Australians.
Those damn foreigners.
I talked about the crikey. Rupert Murdoch is Australian, but it's not just about him. Because you know what? If Dominion voting does not win this, because I think if they do win it, you might see a difference. You might see some change, at least from the on-air personalities.
That could be
you're
reaction.
You're being very optimistic.
You're not going to hurt Rupert Murdoch.
It sounds great. I'd like for that to be.
But if
true.
You go
That's
after,
yeah.
if you
really
go after
like
Hannity and Tucker Carlson, whoever spews this shit, because maybe it changes. Maybe they go, you know what, man? Yeah. I'm out. I can't. I can spin a narrative. I can't outright lie. That's what they said. He said, I didn't believe it for a minute, and he had Sidney Powell on, and he just go, oh, how come the Democrats don't want the whistleblowers? Dude, you know she's full of shit. You just said you. Why didn't you, who admittedly is not a journalist, but why didn't you go, that's not true?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say that?
Yeah.
It would have meant something if Hannity said it.
Right.
It means nothing if Don Lemon says it. It means nothing if Rachel Maddow says it.
Because it's expected.
Back to my point. an anonymous source. We're back to that level of stupid again.
It wasn't an anonymous source. You had Sidney Powell on.
The level of stupid. It's
but wait, but stupid.
The
but,
sources are incredible. That's the problem. What you sources? Got people pumping out information in the public with these sources that. Just
but this
aren't
isn't that.
Incredible.
No. We're talking about the person who's actually saying it. Saying, "I know I was lying when I was saying it."
Yeah.
There should be repercussions.
There should be repercussions.
Somebody gave me this information. He could backpedal on that.
But he didn't.
No, but it's not.
He said, I did not believe for 1 minute. This was under testimony.
Hannity is, whether you like his politics or not.
I don't care about his politics.
He is an educated man. So, yeah, he has to know a lot of what he, and Don Lemon has to know as well, a lot of what he, too, pumps out there is agenda-driven shit.
I don't
that
have a,
really
listen,
isn't even about
I,
them.
This is
so
different.
People can watch
this is
a, it's at a different level.
I think
level.
You're being very hopeful.
Well, no, it's not. And I'm talking about like, you know, when we're talking about politics, we're talking about all different aspects of politics. But this is something that's casting aspersions and changing people's feelings of trust in our democratic process.
Shines a light on a bigger problem.
You know, but lying about it and knowing they're lying about it and doing it over and over and over again. So
Why is it just the people? Why is it just the people who went went to the Capitol, who went inside the Capitol, which is a crime? Why is it just them? Why isn't the people who fed them this, the ones who have the money, the ones who have the power, why don't they get held accountable?
It's personal choice. And again, those are the stupid people that cable news is trying to reach. And you can't sue.
It's not stupid people.
You can't sue for stupid.
They're not all stupid.
That's like me suing Corning. For making forks and knives and saying, you know.
Do you consider Joe Curry stupid?
No.
Joe Curry still believes that that Trump won the election.
Well,
we don't fight about it, but every time we talk about it, listen, I think many years from now, when I'm long gone, he says it all the time, they're going to find out that Trump really won. Joe's not a stupid person per se. You just said you don't think he's stupid. Joe believes it because he saw it all the and Joe's not a fan of Hannity, and he's not a fan of Tucker Carlson either.
Exactly.
But he listens to all this stuff, and he hangs out with other people who believe it. Whereas those people would have said he lost.
And would he be incited to violence? Then he's not part of the 40% that the media wants sitting home watching television.
But in the
that's my point.
In the days
after,
he can
have his opinions. But when you're inciting people, when you need that 40% to tune in so bad to keep your ratings up, you'll say anything.
But they shouldn't be allowed to.
And there's no other easier way to do it than to say whatever the 40% want to hear.
I understand why they do it.
Yeah, we understand the why, but the fact
that how are you going to stop it? I think you're being optimistically hopeful.
I'm not being optimistic. I'm saying what I would like to happen. I don't know if they're going to win. I want people to be held accountable. It shouldn't just be the guy in the bullhorns who acted the fool. Yes, he should be held accountable for what he did. Yes. But it should be the people like Trump, people who knowingly lied day after day and said, you were lied to. They stole it from you. Your neighbor isn't like you. Your neighbor supports a liar. And this is why people hate each other, because they're fed this stuff. And it wasn't that they were naive. They are admitting, I knew it and I did it day after day. And they should be held accountable. Maybe it's pie in the sky, but they should be held accountable.
It's a journalistic version of yelling fire. Vote.
Trump lost his suburban vote and lost the election.
Yeah, yeah, but...
But the Republicans keep on doubling down on it, and they keep on losing.
And still people are saying that.
Talking to the mic, please.
If there's some way they can prove, and here's my question. We are now seeing in modern times, elections taking a little too long to figure out. I'm not liking that. I don't like the write-in paper ballot thing, where you can get somebody from a political committee to show up to a college campus and leave with 2,000 votes. I'm not a fan of that either.
Stuff's always been going on.
I worked in Albany. One of the years, 1,200 dead people showed up and voted. I was there.
These elections have been audited so many times.
No, I'm saying it does happen.
It might, on
a
small scale.
And the fact that the governors and the political parties have done absolutely nothing for the past 200 years to really clean this up.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we're seeing now, to where you can find inconsistencies in any election, and unfortunately, because of today's mass media and social media, you could take the 40% of the dumbest fucking people in our country and incite them to do stupid things, and that's the world we live in.
So what would you say if I said we should move to a standard that Canada has, that if you want to be a news organization, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever, you have to be based on fact. You have to be fact-oriented.
It'd be great.
So you're all right. So we agree on that.
Absolutely. It makes sense. That's a problem solver.
We need this to be
trying to sue a bunch of shitheads that are protected under the Constitution isn't going to do anything. We have to have standards of saying, okay, this is for emotion. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. You're going to get all riled up and stay tuned. And you know what? Here are some facts that happened today. And it's not as exciting, okay? And it's not going to feed your emotional void that you have. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? Here's what actually happened. Here are a few facts. You know what? Make up your own fucking mind.
Let me ask you this.
That's news. Yes, I do agree with what Canada's doing, by the way.
Let's say Dominion wins. Let's say they win. We'll go to... Should Fox News and the other news organizations that did this be forced to broadcast repeatedly that they lied to the people? That if they lose...
A redaction is going to be part of the settlement if they lose. It has to be.
But... Is it just going to be like a blurb with the newspaper where they retract them?
No, public apology. When you have access to that many ears and you do something that stupid
under the banner
of the First Amendment,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Let me ask you this then.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's pretend Dominion wins. Let's pretend Fox News and Newsmax and whoever are forced to do this.
Line them up on the steps of the Capitol and apologize.
With
the national anthem playing in the friggin' background.
Will it make a damn difference to their viewers? I don't think it would.
No. Not the 40% we're talking about.
Nope.
Not the 40%.
That's the travesty.
It is.
Yep. Really.
Because we can't fix stupid.
No.
What about...
And both sides have it. It's 20% should America, this side, 20% that side.
Yeah.
Should America make it criminal now for a news organization to blatantly... If they blatantly lie to their audience and if the lies lead to damage of property, injury, or death... Should they make it criminal? If they blatantly lie, not if they misreport, but if they blatantly lie.
That's a Supreme Court question.
It really depends on the burden of proof.
It's a high burden.
It's a high burden.
But this is a high burden of proof.
Actually,
on purpose.
Pip can probably fact check this. There was a prank. Pulled in the 50s, back when everybody was space crazy, or 60s, 50s or 60s, where...
That radio?
Yeah. A radio broadcaster.
Yeah.
Was that Orson Welles?
Played
a prank. People died.
It wasn't even a prank. They were broadcasting a story.
40% of the people in that community that heard the broadcast, were that fucking stupid, took to the... People died. What do you do in a case like that?
But it wasn't masquerading as a news agency day after day. It was one time.
No. And they did say at the beginning of it that this is a radio play.
A lot of some people did it. People died.
I know.
So to your point, the standard.
But they cover their. But they
the
cover their ass.
Would have
they
to be so
ass.
High.
It would have to be.
like Supreme Court legal scholar, off the chart.
Well,
Harvard versus Yale kind of shit.
Very high burden of proof because you couldn't have somebody coming after every news story saying you deliberately said the wrong thing.
Correct.
And it's like
I'm dumb enough to wear horns and raid the Capitol, and watching your show made me dumber because that. Just isn't going to hold. You know,
well,
really.
Well, I mean, like...
I see what Davin's trying to do, and it makes sense. A slippery slope. That's, you know,
it's how you clean it up.
And this is a Republican in me. I do rely on people not to be that friggin' stupid.
Well, you should stop that.
Actually, by your own reckoning, you should stop because they're dumbest stumps out there.
Yes.
Not everybody, and certainly not our listeners.
Yeah, listen, what BLM did... is atrocious. What the January 6th people did was atrocious. And again, we're back to the 20% of each side, which is 40% of our country.
It sucks.
You know what? Those morons are given too much of a microphone in our country.
Absolutely.
And the same rational people, like the conversation happening here, depending on who you ask, we're drowned out.
Yeah.
We're having fun while talking about it, but... These conversations have to be happening in public.
All right, Pete, make your final point, and then I want to move on.
No, I was just going to say, and I don't want to go into it like a whole thing, like a side thing. That for me, the difference between the Black Lives Matter and other demonstration movements. Now, there were big mistakes, and it got out of control in certain
violence
cities.
Violence and property damage. Yeah.
And people made mistakes. But what I'm saying is there was a big... difference for me and movements where people are demonstrating versus they're trying to undermine an election process, the safe passage from one election to the next. That undermining our democracy. Oh, now you have crossed a big friggin' line.
All right, let's move on. An ABC producer used her credentials to create fake hit pieces on local politicians in Florida while pocketing
thousands
from political
let's
lobbying.
See what the Democrats did now.
It's actually not a Democrat.
Is it? You're picking on another. You got to mix it up here, man.
Hey, listen, man. Listen. This was in Murdoch's paper. This was in the Post. What do you want me to tell you?
Oh, was it? That's right. Yes.
Freelance producer Kristen Henschel, who mostly worked for Good Morning America, was paid at least $14,350 by Alabama-based Alabama political consulting firm Matrix LLC to sandbag the environmentally friendly politicians with bogus questions, according to a report released Wednesday by NPR and Floodlight, an environmental news collaborative. Henschel claimed to be working for ABC while filming the hit piece. The company said she had not been assigned to the story. Kristen Henschel was a freelance daily hire who never worked for ABC News on the political stories referenced in the NPR article, the network said in a statement. Henschel, who's been fired from the network primarily, did freelance work for Good Morning America, the same show plagued by rumors of an affair between host Amy Robach and TJ Holmes. Is it the same
thing?
What
does that have to do with
anything? That's Fox News. I mean, it's Murdoch. Well, let me get this in there as long as we're talking about
it's
it.
It's the same as those people. Let's get that.
And click on the story about that because we've covered the shit out of that. Yeah, it was a clickable link, but that's all right.
Who cares that two co-workers were boning?
A lot of people.
I don't get it.
Who
cares?
According to the report, Henschel began
people with no lives.
According to the report, Henschel began her political espionage on behalf of Matrix in 2016. She was hired by ABC News as a freelance news reporter a few weeks later. Oops. In July 2018, she asked then-candidate to Florida House of Representatives Toby Overdorf about the alleged discovery of 20 gopher tortoises, an endangered species found dead at a nearby construction site. Henschel showed him an ABC business card. Here's a card. Not my card, but here's a card. It's a card. ABC. Overdorf, who was working at the site as an environmental engineer, told Henschel he didn't know what she was talking about and denied the discovery. The interview was posted to the website of the Alabama-based Center for Sustainability and Conservation, which listed Henschel as its media contact. Matrix had paid the center at least $55,000 through a related business, according to the consulting firm's ledgers. A city investigation later found that there was no dead tortoises at the site, and none had ever been there. Oh. What a Matrix LLC paid Henschel at least $7,000 for the job, according to its internal ledgers. The firm later billed sugar conglomerate Florida Crystals and Florida Power of Light for her work. Both companies would have suffered from progressive policies Overdorf promised to bring the Sunshine State. It was an attack out against my livelihood, my family, Overdorf told NPR, and it was something that potentially could last far beyond my time running for office. Yeah, the gopher tortoises won't even talk to me. Henschel reportedly played the same trick again a month later in August. I call that fraud. In August 2018, she called the then South Miami mayor Phil Stoddard as an ABC reporter and began pressing him about a since-settled lawsuit against his family. Parents sued Stoddard, a biologist who pushed for solar panels after their teenager was hospitalized after attending a party at Stoddard's house. 2 weeks later, Matrix paid Henschel $2,000 for what was itemized as a Miami shoot, the report revealed. Matrix also hired a private detective to investigate Stoddard's personal life, and Matrix-linked nonprofit spent six figures trying to knock him out of office, the Orlando Sentinel reported. In 2020, Henschel pressed aides of Florida Rep. Brian Mast, a conservative who pushes for strengthening water quality, on jokes about rape and sex with teenagers who made to a friend on Facebook a decade earlier, but the aides didn't let her approach him. And that's how conservatives fucking work. No, you get nowhere near the candidate. That is the difference right there. Yeah. Good for the conservatives. Weeks later, Henschel made her way into Mast's home within a gated community and told his wife she was reporting on behalf of ABC, even forking over a company business card. NPR reported. Mast later filed a trespassing report with the police and complained about Henschel's actions to ABC. Its political director, Rick Klein, told Mast that Henschel was not there for the network. Matrix also paid conservative news sites in exchange for favorable coverage of its clients, NPR and Floodlight's report revealed. The firm had been accused in recent months of influencing ballot initiatives, running ghost candidates, and more. Matrix's founder Joe Perkins told NPR he did not know of Henschel's work for his company and claims the firm's CEO Jeff Pitts could be to blame. Hey, man. Pitts was the one to hire Henschel and shortly thereafter carried out an affair with her. The report alleges. Now, this is where we get into the Post.
Yeah. That's got some kind of party.
Henschel was famously outed by the National Enquirer as a mistress to former To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen in 2011. Pitts left Matrix in 2020, the same year as Henschel last reported espionage, citing unethical business practices like surveilling clients, which Perkins said occurred under Pitts' own directives.
Wow.
I think it should be illegal for lobbyists to pay for political hit jobs.
Yes.
But it's free speech, so I don't know how you do
correct.
It.
That's the whole. That's why our system is in shambles. You can't control soft money.
But if it's lobby slander, but it's slander.
It's not, though. It's
it is.
Speech. We're back to all our conversation earlier.
Which is why I did the two stories back.
You know, you're paying for your voice and your candidate to be heard.
Right, but you're making your stuff money. Up. They're making stuff up about these
and
candidates.
And they all do it, and it ain't going anywhere.
Well,
I know this is dirty. I've seen it. Again, I worked in government, not just politics. I worked in government. This is commonplace, man. If people knew how bad it really was, Davin, there'd be a friggin' tax revolt in this country.
Oh, my God.
What you just described to me, even from the affair, it just doesn't surprise me.
So here's what you do. You got to
get... This is what we become.
Of course you go after the big...
And it's been there a long time.
Of course you go after the bigger company like Matrix, but you got to go after these individuals who put it out, because then they'll go... Because then they'll go, oh, shit, this isn't worth it for me.
I'm not wearing stripes for anybody.
Yeah.
It'd be nice...
It
was better in the 90s when I was there. I can't imagine what it's like.
And I'll tell you who else who should also sue. ABC should sue Henschel.
She misrepresented herself.
To the detriment of ABC News. People think she's going around representing ABC News.
She besmirched their reputation.
You know what?
They're not gonna, it's a news outlet. I know.
Here's what you do. You do the old Trump strategy. Listen to me.
Start fights with everybody on Twitter?
No. Well, that too.
Trump, I softball that one.
Trump would get into litigation. Trump was famous in the 80s and 90s for hiring all these contractors from Jersey and New York and not paying them. So he would go sue me. And he knew that he could outlast them.
Correct.
So this is what ABC should do. Go, all right, we might not win, but we're going to bleed you dry. Mm-hmm. And so listen, you want to play with the big boys. Mm. You want to pretend you're – I support it. Again, it's the only way we're going to have a change.
We need some kind of self-imposed standard.
Well, we don't have that. We're despicable beings.
And I am a constitutional, obnoxious constitutionalist. I've been called closet libertarian by liberal friends of mine. Seriously.
Don't they know that you could take them out?
Seriously. No, it's cool. Listen, I believe in the Constitution as it's written. Here's the problem, though. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson didn't have Facebook.
Yeah.
If somebody went to lobby George Washington to do something that was contrary to the people's benefit, he would have been hung.
Yeah.
That was called treason.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fast forward 250 plus years. It's bad, David.
The
story. Every day. I wish I was as shocked as your average, we'll say the 60%, the non-stupids in the country,
mm-hmm.
would be at this story or should be at this story. I'm numb to it. I worked at it. I saw it.
But I'm talking about
terrible.
Fixing problems.
Now, how do you fix it? I don't know.
Well, the way the American tradition, litigation. That's how you fix it. Listen, like you said, I'm not wearing stripes for anybody. I'm going to open myself for...
I'm all for personal responsibility. You know that.
Well...
Pip's point, standards.
We don't have standards. But we do worry about not having money. And we do worry about jail.
Mm-hmm.
I like to agree with you. How do you do that?
It
would have to be very...
You got to put state statutes or federal laws... That say these type of...
Oh, it's got to be a blanket. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. It would have to be a blanket statute because then the media companies just going to flock to the states that give the exemptions.
Right. But if you're...
It's going to have to be... Just,
right, but
you can't do this in our country or else.
But the people who are carrying it out, let's pretend Florida had this statute.
Mm-hmm.
So she could. So she might know, listen, I'll do a hit piece for you in New Jersey. They don't have that statute.
Correct.
But
you don't want to go there.
But again, it gets the ball rolling. I mean, because it's hard to do anything federally in this country.
Yeah,
but if, like I said, if the 60% that we count on and...
Yeah, but we don't have a say in... We don't have a voice because of gerrymandering.
It's just that bad. Yeah. Gerrymandering has been a problem for a long time.
It's just getting worse.
It is.
Actually, and I'll pick on you guys. It was a liberal-created problem.
I don't know. It's been bad on both sides.
No, the left winger started that nonsense.
I don't know who started it.
Republicans are
like,
well, when we get the power, we could do it too.
And they are.
It was a stupid old flying everywhere. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but
it's
now
both sides, Pip.
Now the
Democrats
want to fix it.
I sound nonpartisan, not nonpartisan, centrist, libertarian. I'm an issue guy. I mean, I would love to see this problem. So I love the personal accountability aspect. Because here's the thing: to lobby, there's documents you need to sign. There's laws. There are lobby laws. Nobody fucking follows them.
No.
But there are.
But there are.
You know you're breaking the law when you do stuff like this.
Yeah.
To lobby at that level, first of all, you are registered. One must register to be a lobbyist.
Yeah.
Your name, your socks, bank, something.
So then what you need is, you need the mouse. You need ABC, a big company to say, enough. We were our brand was damaged when you were pretending to work on behalf of us, making these fraudulent. We'll make an example out of you.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take. You're going to need big dollars.
It would take something like that to where, and as you said, the middlemen walk away in shackles too. For her to be like, wow, my wife and kids, that could be, you know, they could be seeing me like that.
Right. And
I agree how to do it. I
don't really.
Would I like it? Yeah. Like now.
Because
these these families that were hurt by Henschel, they probably don't have the money to see this, they probably don't have the damages.
No.
I mean,
right.
they can hurt Henschel, but they probably can't hurt Matrix. But the mouse, ABC, they could hurt Matrix.
Oh yeah,
that's what I want to
a
say.
Lot.
Yeah, but that's why
that's a war chest you don't want.
But we still have the high
with.
Burden of proof.
Yeah.
We still have the high
correct.
Burden of proof.
Correct.
Like ABC has to show that they were damaged.
Yeah,
but I would like to see that advance somehow.
I would, you know what? Just
it wouldn't hurt.
You know,
it really wouldn't hurt.
I'm thinking this woman was doing these things and lobbying these questions, knowing that they were completely made up. And it was like for ABC News, this is the kind of person that they hire, even as a freelance person. I don't know if I'm going to believe their stuff so much.
That
anymore.
Happens.
That's what that's
you got to prove
how
it.
I'm spinning.
Now, if I want to be devil's advocate, just because I present a card of ABC News, does that mean I'm saying?
Oh, you represent
exactly.
Yeah.
So it gets real interesting.
You know
it
what
does.
The presumption is that you do.
Well, but it's a high burden of proof.
No.
But was she ever asked? Do you work for ABC News?
Yeah, it produces 1099 or something. It's a rabbit hole.
The thing is, now just pretend that we could put some kind of restrictions or some kind of licensing or something on journalists. Let's just pretend. Do you really want to do that? Because that's restricting anybody's ability to be a news producer.
Yes.
And no, but you also want to have independence because that's where we find out what is really going on because you don't have
government
you're not
restricting
telling the
speech
story because
saying.
The mouse doesn't like
listen,
it.
Listen, I dealt with
whatever. That's Pip rightfully wrong. Again, she's consistent.
But here's the thing.
Free speech sucks.
Yeah.
But we have it, but it can be really dangerous in the wrong hands.
The news organizations don't want to get sued. Rupert Murdoch does not want to get sued. How do I know this? Because when I was when I was doing all that stuff on Avalos and Match.com and that lawsuit was breaking, I had all the screenshots, I had the emails, I had everything, and I was dealing with one of their reporters, and he brought it to their lawyers, and he's like, "Listen, we are 99% sure. The lawyers are 99% sure that everything you were saying is true." But there's that 1%, so we're not going to publish it. So they're aware of it. They're aware of it. And Avalos wasn't going to hurt them.
Right.
And most of the lawyers, you got to remember, lawyers, think of lawyers, not only think of like, you know, bad, crazy people.
I almost was one.
I know, that's horrifying.
and back to
they're
bad,
all
crazy
tied to a political machine. That's how they do business.
Yeah, but this wasn't a political. This was not
that,
a political.
But that's how they do business. The lawyer with that
1%. My story was not political.
Well, no, with that 1%. No, this story here.
This story's political.
No, this is not political.
No, this it is. Yes, it is.
No,
this is a, political
this is
hit
a
job.
Societal problem that we had that has festered now for over four decades that nobody, no party, no leader has the balls to address.
I think that's really tried to be addressed.
This is an American problem. This is not a political party problem. This is an American problem where people are either too stupid, too apathetic, or in our case, just don't know how to fix a monumental screw-up mess like this. And this isn't even unethical. This is illegal behavior. And we have three educated people right now speaking with each other. And it's like, how the hell do you fix this?
Yeah, and that's yeah. the problem.
Ouch!
But I told you, it's going to take a big corporation.
Yeah, with a war chest.
Yeah, that's what it's going to. Now, I don't know if they'd want to do it because it's a publicity. They probably don't want it. It just makes the issue worse. Most people probably didn't read the story. So now more people are looking at ABC News side of
the rug.
Yep, that's probably what's going to happen. But you know what? Maybe you're going to do gooder one of these days. With some money.
Very, very rich. Yeah, I was saying, a very rich do-gooder with deep pockets.
Listen, maybe something happened. You know what? Maybe something happened with Bill Gates. Maybe one day Bill Gates goes, enough of you motherfuckers saying I'm putting chips in the vaccine to track you. I'm going to sue. Maybe something like that.
I had a professor during my internship at the State Senate. And he taught us the golden rule of politics. He who has the goal gets to rule. And a couple other things. But he also said, just remember a couple things up here. So what's up? He goes, one, nothing's ever going to change. Okay? And two, even if people pretend it's going to change, nothing's ever going to change.
Mm. All right, on that note, we'll move on to the next depressing story. Let's move on to the next one. This is about ethics and the Supreme Court. Mm. Let's just keep the good news coming.
Yeah.
We're on a roll.
It's safe to say that judges think their brethren and sistren on the U.S. Supreme Court should be bound by a code of ethics. The question for some is how it would be enforced. June's question of the month, emailed to more than 12,000 NJC, I think it's a judge thing, alumni, asked, should U.S. Supreme Court justices be bound by a code of ethics? A total of 859 judges responded, and more than 97% answered in the affirmative. Absolutely, wrote scores of judges who left comments. If not them, who? Asked Texas District Judge Michael E. Merry, they should set a very high bar for the rest of us to emulate. Alaska Superior Court Senior Judge Beverly Cutler wrote, any debate on this is as ridiculous as debating whether a trial judge should be able to hear his or her own adult child's contested divorce. Paul R. Hart, a town justice in Big Flats, New York, declared, it's ludicrous that every holder of judicial office in the United States, from the lowliest town or village traffic magistrate to the judges of every state and federal bench, has to adhere to a strict ethical conduct code, yet the justices of the highest court in the land do not have to conform their conduct to the fairly consistent rules that all the rest of us have to follow or risk our robes. One common refrain among the majority was that if the Supreme Court justices aren't bound by ethical standards, it will undermine the public's confidence in the judiciary as a whole and threaten democracy. Well, we've seen that. Some judges, however, pointed out that justices already are sworn to abide by a code of ethics,
exactly,
be it the model code of judicial conduct or an oath they took as attorneys. One judge quoted Article 3, Section 1 of the Constitution, which says federal judges shall hold their offices during good behavior. The judge also cited Article 2, Section 4, which lists impeachable offenses by all civil officers of the United States, including judges, as treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. But that's not that's not a code of ethics. Those are crimes. The judge added that absent an amendment of the Constitution, which everyone knows is impossible today, neither Congress nor the executive branch would have authority to impose a code of ethics on the Supreme Court unless SCOTUS imposes some code on itself. The issue is moot. Several judges said they liked the idea of a code of ethics but wondered who would enforce it. It can't be enforced by any traditional discipline process, so it would be essentially by an aspirational code, wrote Magistrate Judge Mike Oles of Boise, Idaho. That would be fine with Drake County, Ohio Common Pleas Court Judge Jonathan Hine, who wrote, there should be an aspirational code, not a mandatory one. A mandatory code will be used with political motivation.
Correct.
By outside forces, organizations to continue weakening the court as an institution. Remember, there are separate branches of government for many good reasons. Several pro-code judges mentioned Justice Clarence Thomas's decision not to recuse himself from a case related to an investigation of the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol by supporters of then-President Donald Trump. Thomas's ethics were later called into question when it was reported that his wife, Ginny Thomas, and by the way, she's testifying in front of the January 6th committee, had repeatedly pressed government officials to invalidate the 2020 presidential election based on Trump's false claims of massive voter fraud. A few judges floated ideas for new ways to handle recusals by justices, whether voluntary or involuntary. These included calling on a retired Supreme Court justice or a federal appeals court judge as a replacement. One anonymous judge suggested that Chief Justice John Roberts designate three lower court judges to serve on a committee that would advise justices on issues such as recusal. They could also review complaints from the public to determine whether they have any validity or ultimately issued an opinion as to whether ethical standards. All right. So I did a poll. Supreme Court judges are the only judges in the USA that don't have to abide by a code of ethics. Should judges have to abide? Should they have to abide by a code of ethics?
Imposed by?
Just say there's a code.
No, only because it's spelt out what their duties are.
So you say no.
And
what do you say?
Slippery slope.
No, I think that they absolutely should abide by a code of ethics.
75% said yes, 25% said no.
Whose ethics?
Well, I think they're staying... No. Yeah. But
that's my problem.
No. But there are things like we are finding out that now judges are going to political lobbyists events. That should be regardless of party. We should all agree you can't do that.
A lot of these guys are jurists that didn't know. And the NJC, that's the National Judiciary College.
Okay,
it's all hobnobbing judges.
Hobnobbing judges.
Yeah,
no, that's the name of my new ska band.
It's your top. Yeah, nice. It's the top 10%. You know, these guys all know each other. The Supreme. Just leave it alone. The Supreme Court boundaries and powers and what's expected is clearly spelt out.
But they don't. But they don't abide by it. They do what they want.
Correct. It's supposed to be a remnant in our Constitution, actually, of absolute power. And you can't have...
But they're corrupt. And most people think they're corrupt now.
It's supposed to be a remnant, a lifetime job, just like a dictatorship.
Which people don't want anymore.
Like, we can't get rid of the Supreme Court.
No. I didn't say... No.
You think January 6th was bad?
No. I didn't say get rid of the Supreme Court. I just don't know if it needs to be a lifetime appointment. I think you could make a 15...
The founders framed it on purpose.
Well, they didn't realize... They didn't understand what was going
to
happen.
They didn't want somebody in that position of power having to run for office.
No, I wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't want them running for office. I would say make it 15 years, one term, you're done.
It's supposed to be a lifetime appointment for a reason. And...
Yeah, but what happens if they're like the grandma that Pip was visiting?
Yeah, right? There's a great counter-argument in that piece as well. You don't want to cross that threshold and have an oversight over people who are supposed to be the highest form of oversight in our country. That's what the 75...
Right, but
I get, we become a distrusting culture. I understand Pip's opinion. I respect
They're giving us reason, though.
They are... Well, no. They're supposed to approach things strictly by... And justify... All their opinions strictly from interpreting
the Constitution. I'm not talking about their opinions.
Not their opinions.
I'm not talking about their opinions.
Things like...
Recusal.
Recuse.
And behavior. Clarence Thomas is full of crap if he's telling me he didn't talk to his wife, because you can't shut a woman up.
Oh, no, I'm not going there.
Well, no, because mine's beyond the door.
But he's still supposed to make decisions based on interpretation of constitutional law, period.
Right, but he is compromised. He is can't tell me how.
He's because a Republican. We know that.
I don't have a problem with him being John Roberts is a Republican. I don't have a problem with John Roberts. I don't have a problem with the I don't have a problem with Kavanaugh or Gorsuch.
That's funny that the black justice has become the bad guy. Uh oh.
Well, he is a bad guy.
He's not the only black justice.
I think
Justice Jackson's black.
He's a very talented and educated jurist, and we depend on all the Supreme Court members to put themselves above politics, and that's why it is a lifetime
appointment. But it's a problem when your wife's trying to start an insurrection, and now you have to hear cases about it.
Your wife didn't try to start an insurrection.
Yes, she did.
She sucked into it a bunch of Looney Tunes. Yeah,
she was lobbying people in the White House. She was lobbying Mark Meadows, the chief of staff.
29 emails asking people to overturn the election. That's not minor.
That's called machine politics. That's all that is.
No, she...
Well, I don't care what she did.
She did.
I care that her husband's on the Supreme...
Her husband is on the Supreme Court.
In my memory, I've never heard of a Supreme Court justice recusing... from any case.
I think, yeah, they have.
I'm sure they
really?
Have.
I'm sure
they have.
I don't... In my lifetime, I've never seen that.
If something
recusal
is...
from a Supreme Court...
But you don't
You're supposed to rise against... All and every. This isn't circuit court now we're talking
about.
But
you don't think it's
and
a conflict of interest?
And then where are you
going
to get these peers to oversight?
Well, that's...
What's supposed to be the highest level of oversight in our country. So wait, now that committee becomes the highest power.
No, but
in
I... Listen, I think...
So who's going to oversight them? You know, so now it becomes cyclical. So now we have this highest level of oversight in our country.
I'll give you another
that
example.
Needs oversight. So then those oversight people... are now the highest power in the land.
I can give you another example.
Then we need another layer of oversight for the oversight people over the oversight
if
people.
Where does it end? Let me talk. It's my show. Let me talk.
Yes.
If you have certain parameters, I don't want to get all political. I don't want to. The thing's political. But say, for instance, you have stock in a company that you are sitting that is now before you.
Yeah.
What happens with those stock values could be directly affected by what you say.
Pelosi's done that.
I'm talking about judges. I'm talking about judges. They should. These are certain basic things that we say. Go listen, man. You can't hear this case, and you shouldn't want to hear the case.
That's a misdemeanor, though. That's inside trading.
But no,
that's impeachable.
No, it's not inside trading.
That's
No, it's not.
If you make a decision knowing somebody's stocks are going to jump 10%,
that's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying. So say Merck. Say I own stock in Merck.
Okay.
Merck is before me for they're getting sued by something, somebody or other. Say birth defects. Say Merck. They're saying Merck knowingly put out this drug. They did the data. They knew I could get this birth defect. They kept it from us. Now I'm a judge. I have stock in Merck. What I believe, how I rule is. That's what I'm saying. There are certain things where you don't have to get political. You go, yeah, just don't do that. Where we could all
then
agree.
Again, now you're talking about a committee to decide if a Supreme Court judge should recuse himself from a case, he or her from a case.
But this is black and white.
They're supposed to do it for themselves, and they're not.
They're not doing it. This is black and white. And another thing.
So you're telling me because Clint, oh shoot.
I'll get you a
because
refill
Thomas's
on the break.
Wife.
What the hell? Let's just freeze. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
No, there it goes. There it goes.
Because Thomas's wife jumped on the Trump train after the election.
I don't care that she jumped on the Trump train.
In the beginning, by the way, and I do remember the story. And automatically assumed that because what seemed to be a popular president, no way that election had to be stolen.
She lobbied to overturn it.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Okay, but not a lot of people are married to a Supreme Court justice. I don't have a problem with what she did.
Well,
I mean, I'm thrilled that she did
I'm
it.
I'm not thrilled she did it, but it's like you're married to the Supreme Court justice, and now the justice is going to be ruling on things that have to do with people making those efforts to overturn the election. It's so interwoven in there that he should recuse himself.
Like, she has the free speech to do what she wants. Might not be.
Yeah, right.
I don't have.
Yeah.
I'm not. What I don't. She can do what she wants. But if you. But if we're talking about honor, and well, that's really what a code of ethics is. Yeah. Is
it's
about.
Not about it's not about. Supreme Court's not about honor or ethics. It's about interpreting the Constitution of the U.S.
But these other judges are saying, these other
simple.
Judges are interpreting constitutions too, including the U.S. Constitution.
It's
and they have. They're saying we have a code of ethics.
Supreme Court's a different animal.
But it shouldn't. But we're seeing record drop in what people think of the Supreme Court. And Justice Roberts knows this. Conservative, by the way. Justice Roberts has been fighting this. He knows how bad. He knows what's happening to the institution of the Supreme Court. He knows it. And this is the type of shit. The Clarence Thomas stuff, the going to events by lobbyists, the Kavanaugh, and there might be others who did it too. I just know Kavanaugh was in
there.
They all
do it. These are their friends.
I don't know if they all do it. I don't know if they all do it. But they listen, you could be a friend. You can
hang
out.
Lawyers. They know other lawyers. These are their friends. They work with these people
right,
for
but
decades.
But we have a code of ethics to go, listen, once you get on the Supreme Court, you can no longer attend lobbying events. Then that's that. Then we have to define what an event is. And that's something else too. I get it. But
who makes those rules? You can't have the other two houses legislating against the Supreme Court. So now you're back.
Well, no, you can. You can make a constitutional amendment.
There's checks and balances
but
for
that's,
a reason.
That's the legislative house regulating the judicial house.
Yeah, but
yes.
That's
not separation of power. That's one power regulating.
No,
another.
No. There are checks and balances.
This is the check
they're
and balance.
Each part of this triangle is supposed to be equally strong,
yeah.
So that if somebody seems to be running roughshod over the law, they can say, oh, no, you don't. And that's why all three parts of the triangle are supposed to be equally strong and check each other.
But it's a slippery slope. I'm sorry.
Well,
everything's a slippery slope. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But you do have this loss of confidence. In
yeah.
the Supreme Court. You do have it being increasingly
well, yeah,
political.
Well, confidence because they recently did something very stupid. And before the Roe v. Wade decision, which, as a man who studies politics, was the dumbest frigging court case ever to take up. But really, if Republicans don't think that ruined the midterm wave that was supposed to come,
well, they did it.
They're delusional.
They did it until they saw the writing on the wall.
You just lost like 80% of the female suburban vote.
They're not bright.
Issue.
They're not bright.
That was the dumbest thing. And God, McConnell and the other guy there.
Now, in their defense. And they're, hold on, and
no,
their
defense,
there's
no defense,
not
for
the
that
Supreme
level
Court,
stupid.
No, not the Supreme Court, but in the politicians' defense, in McConnell's defense, that's how they got a lot of Republicans elected all these years. Mm-hmm. We're gonna elect judges,
not on a national level, at a local level.
But
yeah.
that's what they ran on. They're
that doesn't work people. In the suburbs,
but
no matter what state you're
it
in.
Because they didn't think they were actually ever going to get it, and then they got it, and like, oh shit,
now
we got it.
Yeah,
oops, and that's what's the negativity right now behind the Supreme Court. First
no,
of all,
it's what McConnell did.
It was a dick move at a wrong time. I get that, but now it goes a step further. In the past decade, you have a lot of gay couples that have legally gotten married, so they're up in arms and scared and want oversight.
And that case is
so
before
again,
the court.
What we discussed earlier, you have stupid people and you have scared people,
mm-hmm.
and you have a lot of people. I think the majority, that's 75% that wants this oversight, are scared people because they agreed with Roe v. Wade. They agree they are scared that there are factions in our government coming after people who are homosexual that recently got legally married.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is fear based, and we have to watch what kind of checks and balances.
I agree. We have to watch
when we're in a state of fear.
I think, but hold on.
I think that's what this is.
Hold on.
Republicans resurrected a 70-year-old issue that was doing just fine,
but this
where
isn't
it was.
That. I think people want. I think people want fairness. People,
yes.
People, and we're gonna talk about a story in a couple minutes about another what's ethical and everything. We most people, as a sensei, ran school. Now there might not have been written down a code of ethics, but you had ethics.
No common sense.
You expected your students to act in a code of ethics, and I think the average American says, well, the highest court in the land, I really think I was surprised they did not have a code of ethics. I think people want fairness. That's what people want. This doesn't have to be political.
This is political.
But it doesn't have to be.
Well,
Pip, once again, we need me running shit.
Women are scared because of Roe v. Wade.
I don't think this is Roe v. Wade.
The gay community is scared because Roe v. Wade got knocked down.
I don't think this is Roe v. Wade.
This
isn't Roe v. Wade.
But it's not paranoia. It's fear.
No, it's fear of a decision.
A true movement.
Yes, the Supreme Court resurrected a almost a century old case.
I'm gonna
on ceremony because the irony I found harrowing is that decision actually only affected like maybe 15% of women in the country that would actually want to
think on this,
and
then let's move on.
You realize that, right?
Think on this. Mm-hmm. Think on this.
Why resurrected? Why?
I don't think
just why. It was stupid.
Here, think on this.
Just leave it alone.
Here's what I think this is about. I don't think this is about decisions. I don't think this is about any particular decision. Hear me out. I think this is on how the process is made to get to these decisions. I think people want to look at the Supreme Court, whether they like the ruling or not, but they go, okay, they interpret it with their best intentions,
mm-hmm.
and this is what they came up. And people are still going to be pissed, and people are still going to be happy. But I think if people feel more confident, go, because listen, there's been decisions that we didn't like for whatever reason. But up until the past decade or so, we kind of held the Supreme Court in a certain reverence.
And esteem, correct. Yeah.
And it's been taken away, and I think this is a way to help get some of it back.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just want
to. That happens on the show.
Yeah,
that's
what we do. But even in, like, in New Jersey, in state government, no state government official is allowed to accept a gift. Any gift. A packet of sugar.
Correct.
Nothing.
Pen. Yeah.
And
that's shit back.
they can't even take a pen. You're right.
You can't take a pen. Like, here, I'm going to give you this Gatorade. Nope.
Nope.
No, sir.
No, no, thank you, COVID girl.
Because, right. Well,
I'm
going
to wake
great.
Up tomorrow morning and not be able to smell. Watch.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well, if you're around Pip, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially when she has her shoes on.
Sorry, I'm a little whiffy.
That's how I test.
No, that's true. That happened. It was bad. I
had a nightmare about smelly feet last night, but that's a different thing.
Oh, my God. You were thinking about me
No,
up.
I was thinking about my dead friend. But it's.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, but they're not allowed to do that because. Even if it's just a bottle of water, it's coming from somebody.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then later
that's why you can't hand out water on the voting lines in Georgia. It's looked at as a bribe and influencing.
And you you have to do everything you can as a public official, whether elected or just hired, to dismiss any look of impropriety. And that's on the state level. So why, even though they're supposed to be the Supreme, why is the Supreme Court not held to the same standard as state officials?
And that's what these judges say. All right, let's move on.
Exactly.
But I
get it.
Yeah. So, all right, good. We swayed him. All right. This will cause a fight, I'm sure.
Oh,
let's go to the Marines. I actually went back and forth on this one. The U.S. Marines may ban recruits from respectfully addressing senior members as sir or ma'am to avoid misgendering and offending them.
We have time to deal with this, but keep going.
Well, we have time to deal with lots of nonsense.
That's what we did.
That's what
Rome's
we did.
Rome's burning and we're worried about this
shit.
This
is what you pay for, my friend. This is what you sponsor. Don't blame me. The recommendation was made in a new $2 million report. This is what we spend money on.
That scared me. When I read that, I gasped. You know how many school books that buys? Don't get me started.
Well, but nobody reads books anymore. They don't actually have school books anymore. So.
You know what I'm saying.
So this was done by the University of Pittsburgh. A 738-page study that the Marines first commissioned in 2020 said traditional ways of addressing superiors were holding back gender integration. Employing gender-neutral identifiers eliminates the possibility of misgendering drill instructors, which can unintentionally offend or cause discord.
Three people.
By teaching recruits to use gender-neutral identifiers for their drill instructors, services underscores the importance of respecting authoritative figures regardless of gender. The 2-year study by the University of Pittsburgh's Warrior Human Performance Research Center said that the Army, Navy, and Coast Guard effectively de-emphasize gender in an integrated environment. Instead of saying ma'am or sir, recruits in these services refer to their drill instructors using their rank or roles followed by their last names. Gendered identifiers prime recruits to think about or visually search for a drill instructor's gender first, and somebody who's misgendered people, that's a bitch, before their rank or role. I've done it, as I've talked about. Colonel Howard Hall, Chief of Staff of the Marine Corps Training and Education Command, told the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services this month that the radical shift was being considered by leadership, albeit with some pushback from the Marine Corps Times, said. The proposal is one of a half dozen recommendations the Marines Entry-Level Training Advisory Council is considering. The report said it's not clear when the service will decide which ones to pursue. Hall warned the December meeting of the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services that it would not be a quick fix. It's going to take some effort. Hall told the committee of the switch to gender-neutral identifiers. We want to avoid any quick-fix solutions that introduce perturbations down the line. Hall told the outlet it's not something we would change overnight. We've got a history of sir, ma'am. If we change something at the root level, how do we make the corresponding change at the Fleet Marine Force? So it's not ours to implement alone. I would say you'd probably grandfather something in. News of the possible change was quickly ripped online as making a joke of our military, with one commentator claiming any real Marine would not let this happen. Really? They're going to take a hill over this? I don't think so. They also follow orders, stupid. So just another reason why I got out of the Marine Corps, one former member. Really? That's why you got out? Then you were not there for the right reasons.
You're afraid of pronouns?
Yeah.
That's why you got out?
So, podcaster Craig Chamberlain, meanwhile, quipped, "If captured by the enemy, at least we know our troops will be prepared to use the right pronouns." Important. Others, however, suggested it was not as big an overhaul as it first appears. As a former Marine, it was always yes or no drill instructor. Ma'am or sir was only for addressing an officer, one person wrote, with others saying only recruits would ever use the terms. The commission study highlighted a number of areas where the services still comes across as being male-dominated operation, including sexist behavior and jokes, and training material focusing on men, often using male pronouns even for positions held by females. Women became a permanent part of the Marine Corps in 1948, but still only account for 4.3% of officers and 5.1% of those entitled for active duty. All right, so this is the poll I asked the folks. The U.S. Marines may ban recruits from respectfully addressing senior members as sir or ma'am to avoid misgendering and offending them. Should they stop using sir or ma'am? Ross, should they?
Leave it alone.
So you say no, they should not.
No, this isn't important.
What do you say?
So the three people don't get offended?
33% said...
Really?
33%
I can't see RuPaul going, "You will address me as ma'am!" It just doesn't fit.
It's coming.
33% said yes. 66% no. Originally, I thought yes.
But then I start thinking about it and go, no.
Well, no, it's part of the culture. And
but hold on. Well, a lot of things are part of the culture that we change. It's not just, but they're talking about the positive effects. The study talked about the positive effects it's had on the Army.
On three people. Yeah.
No.
I know. They feel great about themselves.
Listen, I know.
All three people in the Army are male and identify as female will never, ever, ever have their feelings hurt.
It's not about feelings, though.
It's not that.
And that's exactly what this is. It's horse shit. The military is the responsibility to protect our asses and our interests overseas, period. This is politics. It's nonsense. It's a waste of time.
Well, part of protecting
our
asses.
2 million on a study? Pound salt with that stuff.
Part of protecting, man, is cohesion.
It's part of the way the Marine Corps communicates, and it's only done. They are right. I love that they put that too. That's only addressed to officers. If you call a sergeant or a gunnery sergeant Marine sir, duck.
If you think about this,
male or female.
If you think about this, though, in a few years, if they made the change, in a few years,
we could save 7 people from getting their feelings hurt. No. Oh my God.
No, to be honest, it's not about a couple of people
and
getting.
If we enforce it, maybe by the time I'm a grandpa, 40 people won't have their feelings hurt. We got to get on this
it's
now.
It's not about feelings.
Stop combat operations. Stop training. Get them in the classroom. Re-educate these bastards.
All right, you can't have an intelligent conversation, so I'll have it with Pip. It's not. This is. They're saying it's not about feelings.
No.
Then what is it about?
It's about performance and integration. That's what they're saying.
By whom?
By the military.
Are they performing better by not saying sir or ma'am, which is woven in the communication of Marines?
Because it's
talking
about
to officers.
It's about cohesiveness. And if you have people, for feelings for 1 second, if you have people who are feeling less than, for whatever reason.
All three of them, yeah.
But it's not all three.
I know, RuPaul's crying about this.
It is going to affect morale. Morale affects performance. So at the base, at the root level, when you get in, and I said you grandfather it in, I'm not going to be going after people, you know, that have been doing this for years. You're just going to have to let it slide. But if we're talking about when you first get in.
Yeah, the three recruits that are going to have to go through this misery. Yeah.
No, it's not the three recruits.
No, it would be everybody.
No,
it
would be everybody. Everybody.
Why?
They're
what
sergeant,
does it do?
Whatever. First of all, it quickens the time.
It doesn't.
Let me tell you something.
It's tradition.
No.
And it's harmless tradition.
Apparently
no
it's
one's
not.
Getting hurt here. Maybe 5 to 20 people will get offended over the next decade or so. It's okay.
See, but that's a number you're making up.
Yeah.
You're making up a number.
David, if you look at the percentage of our
country
as a
percentage.
They gave us the
percentage.
Yeah, no, this is too much. No, percentage of women in the Marines.
Right.
Yeah. Most of those girls are straight.
No, this isn't about straight or gay.
Straight or gay.
No, this has to do with gender-neutral assignments. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more prouder for a female Marine to take a job that had, let's say, commandant, for example. Okay, what do you want to call it? Commandant her? I mean, how would you?
No, they just want to be called by their title. They're saying not so, man. No, but yeah. Yes, as you move up.
It's captain, lieutenant,
yes,
yada,
as you,
yada.
This is affecting new recruits.
The only time that is usually given, that sir or ma'am is usually used in the Marines, is when given an order and it's aye, sir or aye, ma'am. Usually people are addressed by full rank.
So what they're saying is let's always address by full rank and last name.
Let's spend millions of dollars on this.
That doesn't cost millions.
And $2 million was spent on this study.
Well, that's been done.
Let's train the way we're doing things, which to get Marines to change brushing their friggin' teeth is impressive. Why? Why spend time on this?
Because it really doesn't cost that much time if you're doing it when they get
in. But why do it? To what benefit?
If we're talking about new recruits... If we're talking about new recruits, they don't know any other way than what we tell them. If you say you address your superior,
but why?
Because they found it helps performance and
integration. No, it doesn't.
Well, okay. Well, apparently the study says it did.
Calling when a commanding officer, an officer, not enlisted rank, not a sergeant or a corporal, when a colonel gives you an order and you say "aye, aye, ma'am," how does that make the private feel better?
It's not about the private.
The colonel, the female colonel. Shit, you're a female colonel in the Marine. You're God. They don't look at you. It don't matter. She's got a bird on her shoulder. Period. Don't matter what kind
Why
of junk she's got between her legs.
Go on.
Now, as the resident vagina American in the world,
the authority.
No, I'm not an authority on the military.
Just on vaginas.
No, the vagina part.
I am the reigning...
No argument there.
Let her talk. Thank you. Let her talk.
I'm the only person with one here. So I'm going to just rain on this. See, the thing is, there is still discrimination against women. And there's discrimination against women in the military because there are still some hard heads that think that women cannot do the same job as a man. And in military, where might and strength are one of the things that people judge each other on, they look down on some people, look down on women, and by making them other than, by insisting on discussing the gender should be a complete moot point. You are a person in this unit. You are one member of the unit. You have mm-hmm. that rank. You're the same as the other people that have that rank. So they're saying that by insisting on gendering somebody when you're talking to them, you're making a distinction. There shouldn't be that distinction because there are still in police regiments, it's a paramilitary force, and in the military, there are still cases of discrimination, of harassment, of rape. There are still these things going on, and so if you could streamline it and make it not about deliberately gendering somebody, you're just saying you are Drill Sergeant Smith. Drill Sergeant Smith. Yes, Drill Sergeant Smith. Not, you know, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir.
I don't think it's going to help. I think rapist and sexist assholes,
But you don't think it's going to help, but they have three other branches of the military where they said it did help. They've done it. The Marines are the last of the dance on this, as it turns out. So
when it comes to change, they usually are.
Right.
So the reason not to do it is
just because. That's the reason not to do it. And the other branches of the military who probably went kicking and screaming to it too, who actually implemented, go, it actually helped. So if you can make things better, why not make it better? And that's why I said they should implement it. Because I looked at the facts instead of I got past my gut. Well, this is a bunch of horse shit. What do we do?
$2 million
on this side. And then
there's study for this shit.
But the study was done. And
it's a lot.
And now that people feel better, are sexism and rape gone from the military?
Well, apparently some sexism might be. Have reduced in these other branches.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have to buy it. You're not in the military.
If somebody's a sexist asshole and doesn't want a woman wearing a uniform, calling her sir, ma'am, or colonel is not going to change that. I'm sorry. That's just a douchebag with a chip on his shoulder who doesn't want to serve with women.
Right, but we don't have to feed it. We don't have to feed into them.
They're small. Change is made in increments.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're trying to change things from being, you know, why do you have to make the decision?
I'm not about words. If they really want to change, you know what? Make sexism or rape in the military so ridiculously punishable. That's how you deal with it.
Right, we're talking about two different things. But as the one person who deals with words for a living and has misgendered, well, that's me. I deal with the words. That's all I do is words. Mm-hmm. You actually guys do other shit. I just deal with words.
I have to math.
As somebody who has misgendered people during my shows,
nice.
And I've talked about it.
Nice.
It is a problem. People feel really bad about it. So you say feelings and everything. And well, you're a Marine. You shouldn't have feelings. People have fucking feelings. And even in my audience, when I have the best of intentions and I call somebody in a dark corner who looks like a ma'am, sir, it's a fucking problem.
Yes.
And I have no authority over them. And I don't have to see these people ever again. But imagine if I have to see you day after day and that happens. Yes, you would like to think we're beyond that and you could get past the mistake. But people are people. And they don't. So again,
give me 20.
Exactly. So again, if we can avoid this hard, this unfortunate situation,
yeah,
not life or death, but it's an unfortunate situation. Why wouldn't we? That's all.
Yeah,
it happens in real life. I've done it.
Yeah, it sucks.
When I was younger, I remember I was chastised at work.
Let me tell you, something. I get called ma'am all the time on the phone.
No way.
All the time. And I don't correct them, but I cry. I cry, and then I watch my stories, and I have some bonbons, and I pick up my dress. No, it happens to me all the time.
That's
it does.
Hysterical. Really? You don't sound
I sit down
phone.
And have some sherry and a Virginia Slim. It makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, nice.
You were going to say, and then I want to do our last story. Around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. read the story, and then I have this woman, the teacher. It's a 5-minute video that she put out, but I think it adds a lot of context. The video, and not that video.
Yeah. Oh, damn!
I didn't get the subscription service.
Oh, popcorn.
More like a tarp.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Napkins.
Yes, napkins. An eighth grade teacher in Arizona and her husband have lost their school jobs after they recorded OnlyFans videos in her classroom. A side hustle she claimed was necessary to supplement their low salaries. Using the alias Chloe Carter, Thunderbolt Middle School, by the way, best name for middle school ever.
Awesome. Ever.
Awesome.
But then again, it doesn't really make sense because you don't have a Thunderbolt. So maybe it's the worst name for a middle school ever. Because the name in the school is incorrect.
Yeah, but it's like, it's so Harry Potter. I love it.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's a literature school.
It adds energy to it, yeah.
Might not be Lightning Bolt. Because it's a bolt of lightning.
Thunderbolt. Didn't they just say Thunderbolt?
They did, but I'm saying that's not correct. Make it Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Thunderbolt.
Let's
spend $2 million to see if it makes people feel better.
I'll tell you what. spend $2 million if Pip understands what science.
I'm sorry. Pip's
thinking about something totally different right now.
That was my point. Point was the name is erroneous. There's no such thing as a Thunderbolt.
I give up.
When I work with part of the 40%.
39. I'm 39.
Just a horny 50-something. That's all.
Tell you what, she's really starting to go downhill. Using the should have seen her last year. Much better. Yeah, using the alias Chloe Carter, Thunderbolt Middle School science teacher Samantha Peer uploaded the X-rated videos for her OnlyFans page, which her students found and shared among themselves. Oh. Her husband, Nautilus Elementary School 4th grade teacher Dylan Peer, also took part in the adult productions inside the Lake Havasu United School District building, according to the report. Samantha said she resigned under pressure after being placed on paid administrative leave and probation. She was let go 4 days later. She released a video, which I'm going to play, that she and her hubby resorted to creating X-rated videos because of their salaries. I'm not going to read the quotes from it. I'll play the video. The teacher admitted she created explicit content in a classroom and advertised it, but claimed she did so after school hours on the weekend when no students were present.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What, we got a problem? What? My free time. It was unclear how the students found her content, which they circulated among themselves. Samantha said she was placed on administrative leave after a community member notified the district about the content on October 24th. That's more for quoting. She said she was told to resign before a school board meeting. The district would not publicize this sort of matter, but the images were then shared among teachers. These teachers were also telling. That's more of her quotes.
Yeah.
On November 7th, the school notified parents about students sharing explicit videos. It has come to our attention that students have been airdropping explicit material. The images did not happen during the school day, and the person depicted no longer works for LHUSD. Please remove all images from your child's phone and talk with them about the appropriate use of technology. And please, when viewing, have napkins and lube. No criminal charges have been filed against the educator, the news outlet said. I am absolutely outraged. Our kids shouldn't have been exposed to this, said Aaliyah Bilski, the mother of an eighth grader, adding that Samantha's account was linked to her non-alias social media pages. If it was just an OnlyFans account, I wouldn't be as upset because I feel like you would be upset because that would 100% be on the kids' parents. But this was public and easy to Google to search and everything. Who was doing this? Another parent, Christina Miner, said Samantha was sharing these links to her sex site or on her social media accounts, which are public and which children follow her. Well, I would too. Yeah. Miner said the teacher used her school yearbook photo on OnlyFans on a post that says, "Who wants to be my next teacher's pet?" Well, that's just not smart.
Wow.
I'm a taxpayer. I'm not paying these teachers to film pornography. No, but if you were paying them more, they might not film pornography. But that's neither here nor there. They're being paid to teach our kids. Yeah, but she did this on her free time and set higher standards for them. No, they're not.
No.
School spokeswoman Andrea Hart told the News Herald that the district cannot comment on personal matters. All right, I want to play her interview, and then I think it'll be a better conversation. I've listened to it twice already, and I've watched the video 3 times.
Hello, my name is Samantha Peer, or some of you might know me by my alias, Chloe Carter. I was an employee at Thunderbolt for 5 years. And within this time, although my experience and evaluation showed that I had become a master science specialist and teacher, my salary did not increase. In this time period, I had to continue picking up extra stipends in order to make ends meet, such as co-advisor to yearbook club, STEM club advisor. I was mentoring a group of four uncertified new teachers and was going to coach softball in the spring. It got to a point where our family was not able to survive on our two teacher incomes. My children are the most important thing to me, and I'm already spending countless hours outside of my contract time on extra school activities, and I don't think it's fair that I have to sacrifice my own children's time because our professional salary did not pay enough. Arizona is currently ranked 50th state as lowest paid teacher salary. I created a content at the beginning of the summer in order to earn extra money on the side to help pay for our basic necessities that our salaries were no longer meeting. I chose an anonymous name as well as blocking the entire state of Arizona on my OnlyFans so that it wasn't accessible to anyone living in the state. It was brought to my attention on October 24th that a community member had expressed concerns to the police and my school regarding video content. At this time, I was placed on paid administrative leave and probation pending investigation. 2 days later, I had asked that an individual that was assigned to my case be removed because they had created a hostile work environment between me and other coworkers for several years during my employment. I did not feel safe with them knowing this information, and I felt that they would spread it in retaliation for their own personal vendetta. On October 31st, I decided to resign from Lake Havasu Unified School District under pressure. However, I was not fired. The superintendent ensured me that only her, the individual that was removed from my case, and my own family were aware of the situation and content, and told me that if I had resigned before the board meeting on Monday, October 31st, the school would not publicize what was going on. On November 2nd, my husband was put on paid administrative leave because faculty reported pictures of myself that were being spread amongst other teachers. The following Friday, November 4th, my husband was terminated from the elementary school because he is classified as a long-term sub and he has an at-will contract. The superintendent stated he can be let go for no reason at all. It wasn't until Sunday, November 6th, when I had not been a teacher for the school district for 6 days, that my social media used for advertising became viral. November 6th was the first day that previous students and community members began following my alias accounts. Other school teachers were notified of the site and they began to spread it amongst themselves. Those teachers also were telling students my anonymous name and showing them my page. This was also sent to the parents, and they decided to do the same thing as well. They were sharing my anonymous name and content page with their children and allowing them to comment and follow on my accounts, although they are specifically labeled as not safe for work, 18 plus only. Students were never aware of my social medias, nor did they follow me until after I had resigned from the district on October 31st and went locally viral on November 6th. It wasn't until November 9th that these links were available on my personal social medias due to state news coverage. Parents are still allowing their students to follow, contact, harass, and intimidate me. These parents are posting my personal address online and threatening to show my underage children revenge porn. Community members are now going to public places such as my gym and threatening to cancel their membership because their children also go there. The gym owner chose to terminate my membership, although I had been a member for 4 years, because other juvenile members were harassing me by taking my picture and videotaping me while I was trying to work out. The video that was created and advertised was made after contract hours on the weekend. No minors were ever present or involved in the videos. I am already paying the consequence by losing my teaching certificate, as well as losing the job that I loved most. I thoroughly enjoyed working with my coworkers, teaching my students science, and it brought joy to me every day. Looking back at the situation, I wholly regret creating the video in the classroom after school hours, but I felt trapped in my financial situation, and I felt this was the only way that my family would be able to survive. However, I do not believe that my name should be smeared throughout the community when I made one mistake that didn't affect anybody until other adults began allowing children access to my content. It has been quite concerning to me that parents are continuing to allow their children to comment, harass me and my family, and threaten myself as well as others connected to my social media, as well as follow pages that they knew themselves are not appropriate for minors.
Okay, let's unpack. First of all, there are no good guys in this story.
Nope.
All right.
Ooh, that's sad.
Listen.
Wow.
I could possibly make the argument for her if I wanted to that, all right, you want to make porn in your free time? Fine. You want to make it's not available in Arizona? Fine. I can't defend you doing it in the classroom.
Nope.
I mean, once you did that,
big line crosser.
Yeah. My kids have to a Bunsen burner there. We have to dissect a pig where you were blowing your husband.
Nah.
No.
You don't shit where you eat, and she's like a giant dump where she eats.
Well, there was no kids there. Is that what we're hanging our hat on?
It don't matter if anyone here.
No. Now, I could possibly make the argument that if she had done it in a hotel room and she took these precautions, maybe we don't have to fire her.
I liked the precautions. I appreciate that somebody works with kids. Okay. She seemed, I don't know all the facts of the case, to try to shield children from this to the best of
ability. Better shielding would have been, don't do it in the classroom.
As soon as she walked onto school property, where she worked, mind you, all bets are off. I feel bad for the lady. She's got kids. That surprised me, too.
Do it in the teacher's lounge. A little respect.
these two characters are parents. But that's just a very special level of stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's indefensible. I think that they thought, I'm presuming that they thought doing it in a classroom would be like
hot?
Naughty teacher.
Yes,
hot,
yes. I know.
You know what I mean?
You know what?
But stupid teacher, not.
Yeah.
You know,
go to Staples,
mean,
print them a backdrop, and do it in your basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so we'd all be willing to possibly give her like a suspension, but not lose her license if she would have kept the shit at home or in a hotel.
Yeah, that's.
And I don't think a lot of people would have done that.
Suspended,
but
even fired. Yeah, I could also hear in her voice she sounded a bit young.
She's in her 20s, 30s, something like that.
All right, so you're dealing with that dumb shit Gen Z-er. All right, so
no, it's not Gen
Z. Somebody would want to see doing such things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So
yeah,
all right,
yeah,
okay.
So I think they're still hot.
Sure.
I think the school had no choice.
No,
but to
they
fire.
Have to fire.
Yeah,
her. No doubt.
Yeah, I mean,
Case closed. Now
these teachers that shared it, they should face discipline too.
Yeah.
You know why? If my son gets a dirty text like that and shares it with a friend, he gets suspended. Agreed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And these teachers are showing
Absolutely.
It to students. Go, this is where you can find. How is this not part of the conversation?
That's endangering children.
These teachers are showing the kids pornography.
School, correct?
She's an eighth grade teacher. He's a fourth grade teacher.
They're under 18, and you are sharing porn with somebody who's under 18.
Or showing them where they can get
showing
it.
Them where to find it.
You're a criminal.
It's just as bad.
If you're sharing or guiding people under 18 to
you know
porn,
what?
You are a violation of many
argument.
Laws.
I'll make the argument. They're worse than her. Because at least she was trying not to show it to the kids.
It sounded like that.
I mean, this is her version.
What she did was just incredibly effed up.
Listen,
stratospherically.
And you know what? To your point, the kids, if the principal, the kids are harassing her, setting up, you're suspended too.
Correct.
Yeah.
She lost her life. Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her move on.
Kids, don't share it because we're not allowed to share that stuff in school. And that's most schools' standard policy now with cell phones.
Right.
And the adults, absolutely. They should be dealt with very heavy-handed over this.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has transgressed. But I would venture to say that it was the people that are showing kids where to get porn. She tried to, you know, keep them away from it.
Well, it would have been better if she would have kept it at home.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
She also did it.
Has there been any follow-up to this, though? Or the adults showing the children would access material, this material? Have they been tried criminally or
not? I mean, this is a fairly new story.
All right.
This happened, but you know,
this is
month.
Beyond work discipline. This is what they're doing is illegal.
Yeah, but these parents are part of the problem.
Yeah, they are.
Parents are stupid too. Yeah, that happens.
I mean, I understand the teachers sharing it amongst each other because that is some delicious tea that just got spilled. And if
terrible.
I knew
you are
that
terrible.
My coworker was
She's right.
Porn,
it's not right, but it's human.
If I knew my coworker
I just don't feel sexy
porn,
at work.
I'm sending my
Wear
friends at
pants.
Work that and going, you won't even friggin' believe what Mary did.
Yeah.
And here's the link. Oh, my God. that's what you do, because that is just such delicious gossip. I'm not sending it to kids.
No, so yeah, again, there's an age thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in this story that should not be working in schools or with children.
But,
and that's the lesson here.
But and there's also a part about this that is absolutely true. Teachers get paid dick.
All right, you still can't do that, though.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
I mean, she was using that as an excuse. There are other driving. I know she wants to spend time with her family. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But, you know, that can't be the reason why you went into the classroom.
No.
You made this decision. You need to own up to that.
I'm not excusing her decision to do this in the classroom by that. I'm just saying that this is part of the story that is, it's not the lead, but I'm saying.
Well, she's
that,
hanging her hat on that a little too much.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that that's trying to.
She's trying to defend something that was just so friggin' stupid.
And you did choose to get into teaching in the lowest paid state. You know, all
and your husband's
true.
Not even on the payroll. He's a permanent,
he's
long-term
a
sub.
Long-term sub. But it's like, but I just wanted to mention, how friggin' sad is that?
You know, honestly, though,
you can't have a master's degree and be part of that 40%.
Oh, I know that.
Well, here's the thing.
Really?
One of the reasons she said she got into porn, then we'll take the break, is that she was doing all this other stuff.
She's a 20-year-old gym rat.
Well, she's not in that great shape. But she was doing all this other stuff, all these extracurriculars involved with school, and she didn't want to take time away from the family. Okay, the first thing
I know,
you do,
that touched me, actually.
It's very good,
this
but if you're
lost everything.
But all right, you're struggling, you want time with the family, you need more money. The first thing that has to go is you go, listen, I can't do these clubs. I have to cut back on because I have to get a second job.
Yes.
That's the move.
That's
the move. Not go, all right, I'm going to keep all that, which is very, you know, admirable, and now I'm going to shoot porn. You were going to shoot porn anyway.
I'll go between that.
You were going to shoot porn anyway. Let's be honest about it.
As much as, you know, it can be argued, you know, if it wasn't their own time in their basement, I'm sorry, once you take a job like that, there's certain things you just can't do.
Listen, it's hard to find many
really,
places.
I worked with kids for years.
Yeah, there's certain
there
things.
There was a bar in my plaza that I did not hang out in.
Yeah.
Why? Watching Sensei pound Jaeger and play pool
now,
is
however,
not good.
Yeah.
Now, however,
not a good image.
I did pass I did pass around videos of Sensei pounding ass, which was an excellent video.
This
face should never be associated anything with video and sex.
No, but this
that's
is what
a travesty.
We have to get for Deco in studio when she saw that video.
You know, there was a move that I have to say was so impressive.
Martial arts training, dear.
Something I did.
Yeah. In that video.
In that video. It was very impressive.
In the pounding ass video.
Yes, it was very impressive.
It was very impressive. Yeah, I'll tell you about it later. Yeah,
but
no,
yeah.
Maybe you don't even realize you do it.
You know, I'm full of shit here, right?
Are you?
Yes.
All right.
I said
I had a pounding ass beating. I know you were sexualizing.
No, sex
I
video.
Thought it was me. Oh. I was say I was beating somebody up and you filmed it. I'm like, yeah, that's happened. I can see that happen.
No, a sex video.
Me and a sex video. That's ridiculous.
That's what we thought, but you didn't.
No.
See the 40%. Let's take a break.
That's like a drag queen owning a steakhouse.
All right. On the break, the 40% is in full effect tonight. On the break, we got new music from In Karma with Dreams and Be Infinite with Estes Benita. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, we play for the first time in over 2 years, Boozy or Flu.